It's Monday, March 8th, 2021. I'm Emma Lieberman, and welcome to TMI Daily, your daily roundup of everything people are talking about online, since they aren't allowed to talk about it in person. This morning, the CDC announced new guidelines that allow for fully vaccinated people to socialize indoors without masks. Unvaccinated people will unfortunately have to continue to do it without the CDC's blessing. Another Republican senator will not seek re-election in 2022, as GOP leader Roy Blunt announced his retirement today, which means that in 2 years, if Donald Trump is still running the party, there will literally be no one left to be blunt with him. You get it? Blunt? Because it's his last name. Okay, well, we were off for a week. A single Trump supporter greeted the former president yesterday as he returned to New York City for the first time since leaving office. To be fair, we're not actually sure it was a supporter, or just the first of many process servers. Mackenzie Scott, the ex-wife of Jeff Bezos, married Dan Jewett, a Seattle school teacher, making him the first and only teacher who will be able to afford to buy school supplies for his kids this year. The British royal family has reportedly been plunged into chaos after Harry and Meghan alleged racism and neglect in their Oprah interview last night. And if you think that's bad, can you imagine what it's done to the writers of The Crown, who didn't have this in next season's story arc? After watching last night's interview, Megyn Kelly accused Meghan Markle of not being self-aware, and criticized Oprah Winfrey's interviewing skills, which is ironic, since Oprah is still being paid to do TV interviews, while Meghan was paid off to get her to stop. So yes, there is a Meghan who isn't self-aware, but she didn't marry into the royal family. Disney stock rose by 5% this afternoon, as investors reacted positively to the announcement that Disneyland will be allowed to reopen with limited capacity on April 1st. The kid in the Mickey costume who will now be stuck wearing two masks, though, well, he wasn't so positive. Chris Cuomo is now facing backlash for saying that he's black inside after singing the theme song to Good Times. Listen, far be it from me to be the gatekeeper of blackness, but given recent events in New York, Chris isn't even the black sheep of his family. Bachelor contestant Rachel Lindsay has returned to Instagram after disabling her account due to backlash from the racism drama she was involved with during the show this season. Rachel's return to social media is a lot like being a fan of The Bachelor, in that they both purposely returned to a toxic place they knew was no good for them. After being accused of promoting rape culture, cartoon character Pepe Le Pew was edited out of the upcoming Space Jam 2 film. Although Pepe did try to make amends, we're told that his apology stunk. Now let's send it over to tonight's TMI Daily cast and crew roundtable. Stay safe, everyone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to an all-new week of TMI Daily. I'm Veronica Aiello, and as always, I'm joined by my TMI Daily crew. We were off last week, so I did miss you guys. So let's go around and say hello to everyone watching at home or listening to our TMI Daily podcast. And tell me if you guys did anything exciting while we were off. Let's start with you, Joe.
Hi, everyone listening on Google Podcasts, and a very, very happy International Women's Day today. It is also Women's History Month this month in March, so kudos to all the women out there and every fantastic thing they've done throughout history and will continue to do in this world. What did I do this when we were off? Oh, I know. I went to the hospital for a few days.
Well, glad you're better, yeah. Joe.
I'm not necessarily better, but hey, I'm back.
Chris.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Happy to be back. It's been a good week. Before I go on, tell you
I didn't quite get that. Would you mind rephrasing?
Tickets and get tickets for this Friday. I'm doing a show in the Yoohoo Room at 9:30, so go and get your tickets now. Yes, shameless plug. Oh, and the most exciting thing I did during our week off was take a COVID test.
Oh, nice. And we're planning on getting tickets to your show, by the way, so thank you for the reminder.
Of course.
We're not going to actually watch. We're just
fine. Just listen.
No,
just
we're
buy
just
going to
watch you. That's the thing.
That's fine. I'm not upset by that.
No, we'll be watching, but we'll just basically, you know, turn on the volume when you come on. So. There you go.
I'm going to be the one going, ha!
That's good enough.
Yes, Elizabeth.
Remember, my dad asked for my first virtual show, can I heckle? And the answer is, no, Tom, you can't. What the fuck? But yeah, what I accomplished on our week off, I got a new apartment. So excited.
Yay.
After a pretty decent hunt and making some moves, I scored a place, and I'm very, very excited. Me and my baby are moving on up, and I like to credit my clutch decision to vote for the Jeffersons in the bracket bloodbath of best TV theme song.
Is it a bigger place than it is now, than you got now?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Is it in the sky, though?
It is.
Hey, that's
hey, does this
about.
One does this one not have screaming kids in the walls?
I hope so. It didn't sound like there were any when I toured it.
Well, not to give away where you live, I'm not going to say where, but 9 times out of 10, this area is mostly actors, so it probably won't be children around.
I'm moving from, I think, a very family-oriented complex to a less family-oriented complex, which is fine. And there's no knock against the lovely children, but I also lived across the street from a middle school, and when I was first staying homesick, or really any weekday I might have had off, you could hear the announcements from the middle school in my apartment.
Funny.
So it'd be like, all students line up for gym. Kevin, go to the office. Your mom's here to pick you up. I'd be in bed trying to relax or whatever, or just resting, and then I'd be like, "Oh, I'm back in middle school." So it was a good thing to move.
There's the naked guy across the street who made a tent out of boxes, but he keeps to himself, so you'll be okay.
Yeah.
And Pete, what did you do while we were off?
Well, I made multiple attempts to achieve something and then gave up. Pretty much all I achieved is what you're seeing at the bottom of the screen today, because I spent like a week changing the lower third of the show like 9 times till I figured out one that I liked. Really was not that much of an achievement, I'm sad to say.
Everybody that listens to us via the podcast is noticing no difference whatsoever.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah, if you listen to the podcast, I did nothing this week.
No, that's not true, Pete. What did we become obsessed with this past week? Where are we moving to?
Oh, yeah, we're moving. We're going to get a house in Alaska. We've decided that.
Yes. We started binge watching Living Alaska on Discovery Plus.
See, this is why I can't get Discovery Plus, because I'm going to fall into
this. Oh, my God, it's the best.
No, I didn't. When Bryce was our guest, I did not have the heart to tell him I didn't have Discovery Plus, and the only reason was because I knew I would fall down a rabbit hole watching.
Who will?
Finding Bigfoot. The ghost adventure shows, every home renovation show. I was like, I can't do it. I didn't have the heart to tell him at the time.
But, I knew how much I loved the Bering Sea or all the shows until this past month.
No, Elizabeth, there's so much on there that, like, even stuff that you never think, like, oh, I'm going to be interested in. Like, we started watching Extreme Hotels too last night. Oh my God, so good.
That's why I can't, I have not brought myself. I'm like, this has so many things I would watch. I would not get a damn thing done in my life if I downloaded it.
What's worse, Elizabeth, is not what you know you'd watch. It's what you didn't know you'd watch. Because I find myself, especially last week when I was staying up later, I find myself at like 2 o'clock in the morning going, that Joni Arias documentary seems good.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, we watched that, too.
Oh, yeah, we watched it all.
It's not on Discovery Plus, but everybody should watch Murder Among the Mormons. It's great.
Murder Among the Mormons is awesome.
My favorite person is the document expert. No spoilers, but the way he introduces himself is, I went into forensics because I don't like people.
My best man. Nah, I definitely have to watch it.
He's my favorite.
That sounds good.
It's the greatest streaming service ever.
Discovery Plus.
When you guys move to Alaska, let me know. I'd love to come and visit, because it's my bucket list to take that road all the way up to Dead Horse. So,
yeah, it's amazing what you can get in Alaska.
Are you going to be an ice road trucker or whatever while you do it?
No, it's just that's the one of the roads. Yeah, but I mean, it's just the whole point that it's dangerous to do it by yourself, so I want to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start tonight's show. So we are
happy.
Yes, we do have to. I'm sorry.
Let's just talk more about Discovery Plus
today.
Fun.
Discovery Plus.
The one thing you're not getting in Alaska is laid, because I think it's like 10 to 1, 10 men to every woman in Alaska. I think it's the ratio. So
sounds like a good picking for skinny.
That Tinder's got to be really something, Alaska's Tinder.
Well, that's good for Veronica, because I'll be dead within a week of being in Alaska.
It's like, well, Peter will be attacked by a bear. No, he'll be mistaken as a bear.
Aw, a sexy teddy bear.
Thank you, baby.
You're welcome. Okay, so let's start tonight's show. So we are back after a week, and as always, a lot has happened since we were last on. So let's start tonight's show with just one question, where I'm going to ask you one question from today's top story. So good news for us here in California, well, for some people, but California is allowing Disneyland to reopen on April 1st at a limited capacity, and it's also expected that movie theaters are also going to be reopening soon as well. So my question to you is, should people who have not been vaccinated yet be allowed into any indoor venues or attractions? How do you feel about that, Chris?
Well, first of all, part of me is a little bit sad that we're kind of getting into this, like back to a normal, because I'm like really, like, I was like finally getting into like the groove and like having a routine and liking this like non going out thing. And now it feels like, you know, people are going to start coming back to LA and things of that nature, because if Disneyland and theaters open, you know, that's just like the next step is everybody's going to come back. So that kind of sucks. But I mean, honestly, I don't know if people shouldn't be allowed, but the real question is like, should you risk it? Period. I mean, a place like Disneyland, that is just that's too high of a risk for you to go there not being vaccinated. And you know everybody's going to go. And like, it's going to be a crazy thing because, you know somebody's there. I mean, we got freaking Karens that get pissed off that they can't go to a grocery store because somebody tells them that they got to wear a mask. Imagine Karen at motherfucking the office of Disney when they say, hey, we're over capacity, you can't come in. It's going to be chaos. And the same thing at the theaters too. So I don't think that people who haven't been vaccinated yet should come to any of those kinds of places. But again, it's really, you know, obviously not in my control. But yeah, I just think it's just stupid to risk that, period.
You know what I'm wondering too? Like, you know, like for the attractions, for instance, like the Matterhorn. Yeah, after right. Somebody gets off, are they going to just sanitize that seat over and over? I mean, that's going to be just so, there's just so much to think about, you know? Right. I don't know. It would be great.
Yeah. Depending on how many people they let in.
I'm sorry. It's so concerning to think that the kid who probably was masturbating in the men's room prior to coming out to work the ride may have to clean the seat afterwards. I just don't see that happening.
That's true. Joe.
Actually, that is happening. That's what they're doing at the other parks. So let's go so real quick here. In the red zone, they can only open at 15%, which is approximately 8,000 to 12,000 people, which I know sounds like a lot. But when you spread them out on Disney, it's different. And they're going to hire extra people that will actually, yes, sanitize each vehicle as it's unloaded and reloaded, which is what they've been doing over at the other parks. So that's something they'll be doing there. Now, here's the other thing. Just because it says April 1st, the parks aren't opening on April 1st. I even just got my letter from Universal. No. Just because they can doesn't mean they will. First of all, right now Disney has started the Touch of Disney Food Festival. So they can't even open until those tickets are all done. So that's at least the 15th. And it's going to be at least another 2 weeks before they're even ready, which puts us into May, which puts us into President Joe Biden's most of us are going to be vaccinated by then bit. So I'm hoping that that's the case. I don't think it's the case, but I'm hoping that's the case. But here's the thing. So they're not going to open on April 1st just because they can. Right. I can tell you right now that Universal is probably going to open sometime in May. Disney's definitely not going to open until sometime in May. And then remember, there's still going to be red zone and all that. So even at the yellow zone, which is our lowest level here in California, they can only open at 35%. I'm a little bit more concerned about the movie theater. Then right. I am, because Disney is half of it's outside. They're going to be sanitizing the rides. You're going in and out real quick, stuff like that. Where the movie theater, you're going to be 2 hours in a room with somebody who's just like coughing it up. That I don't know about. So,
yeah,
but
no, I mean, you can't. You, when it comes to movie theaters, I just don't see there being a motivation for people to go back to the movies, because there's not going to be any big movies, at least now until probably June, July, and if that's even the case. because I think right now there's only about three or four movies that are still on any calendar.
I think the A Quiet Place 2 is Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah,
they moved it up.
But everything else got moved out of the through the summer. So there's not like even that many movies to talk about. But the few movies that are going to come out, I think it's one of the few things that people are going to really sit back and say, is this worth me going to a movie theater for? Right. I mean, because they didn't do it for Tenet. And that would have been one of those kind of movies. I don't see any movies. I don't think A Quiet Place 2 is the movie that's going to get people back into the theaters either.
John Krasinski thinks it is.
Yeah. Well, good thing for him.
He sure does.
To me personally, again, you know, if you open something, people are going to go just because they're stupid enough to do it. That's good that what Joe's saying, that maybe they won't open until May 1st. But do you want to be one of those people inside that little packed area in the Haunted Mansion when you don't know who's been vaccinated, who hasn't? You know, I mean, those expenses that, and I get it, 8,000 to 10,000 people, whatever, 8,000 to 12,000 people may not seem like a lot. But it's an awful lot if they're all in that room with you at the same time when you get there. Maybe the 15-year-old who'll be running the ride is gonna be very conscientious about making sure only six people go into the area. But maybe he won't.
Right.
You know, maybe that day his girlfriend broke up with him and he's gonna be texting a lot. Who knows?
Elizabeth.
I just hope if they do cram you into the Haunted Mansion, they at least give you a really funny headstone if you catch COVID from it. those like Jesus. Puns. If you catch it on Pirates of the Caribbean, you get to be one of the skeletons in Pirates of the Caribbean.
My will dictates things.
Right now I'm thinking that might not be a bad deal.
haven't they tried to claim that there are real skeletons in some of those rides? I highly doubt it.
Yes.
No one's going to do that.
Well, no, it's not actually that, but there's always been that whole, whatever you want to call it, a wives' tale or whatnot, that they're real skeletons. But
did you know that the one of the creators of the Haunted Mansion ride, though, was murdered under mysterious circumstances and they've never caught the killer?
Ooh, yeah, no.
But I mean, hey.
Sure. Disney.
I have a couple of questions about these reopenings. Like one of the things I was
thinking, you're gonna ask me more about the murders.
Oh no!
I was like, that's all I remember.
I got murdered. Yeah.
You know what? I bet you anything. There's at least one show on Disney. On Discovery Plus about that.
About that
probably.
Because there's about everything else.
The Haunted Mansion murders.
No, one of the things I was thinking about with the theaters reopening, they're saying, okay, so people are gonna have to sit in the movie theater wearing their mask. You're in a dark room. So, like, you know, who's to say that they're not going to be, you know, pulling down their masks? Who's going to be enforcing that? Like, is it going to be the person with the flashlight, you know, going up and down? That's one of the things that I worry about.
How often do you see that guy? There's no way.
I've never seen that guy.
Because he's always in the bathroom masturbating,
too. Possibly, maybe the arc light. The arc light could probably have the people to do it. Mm-hmm. But
certain theaters, I think so, too. And also with Disney, when they do reopen at such a limited capacity, are their prices going to go up? Like, for example, is like a $20 balloon going to be $30 now? Like, how are they going to make up, you know, the loss?
I don't think you're going to see that kind of thing go up. Now, the whole thing is there are no annual pass holders, so everyone's going to have to buy a ticket.
Okay.
So that's how Disney's going to end up breaking even again. So you're going to have to buy a ticket. If you buy a one-day ticket, it's what was it the last time when
I think this is the year anniversary of when my mom and I went right before everything shut down. And it was like, I want to say $112 or $120
ahead. I think.
Yeah. So it's $200 for the two of us.
Even at a 15% capacity, that's still, you know, and then we're talking to each park. There won't be any park hopping. So 12,000 in Disneyland and then 12,000 in DCA.
Aren't the rates a little higher in the summer for tickets, the day tickets in the summer? Yeah. They go up like another like $10 or $15 or something.
Yeah, I'm figuring you're going to see it at about $110 each. Yeah. Now, I
blew $50 on a Porg in Star Wars Land, but it was worth it. That thing's adorable.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that. And listen, the thing is that I just got an email from Universal. I'm also a Universal pass holder. I still am because they didn't get rid of the pass holders. And they're like, "Hang on, we're going to do an announcement soon. you know, somewhere down the road, mm-hmm. we're going to be opening up the park, but we're going to be keeping the pass holders. So it might be a little bit different with Universal with the pass holders. I don't know. You know, maybe they're figuring some other way of making money, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we get it. And then listen, I think the first park that'll open will be Knott's. Knott's is going to be ready to go. You're going to see them first, second week in April. Knott's Berry Farm will
open. They've been doing those festivals.
They're actually doing a hiring boom this week too. So you know, they're going to be ready to go.
We had a pass at Knott's for a couple of years, and I can say honestly, after spending some time there, that if we lose most of the people that go to Knott's, not a big loss.
See, we had it for a year, and we only went twice.
I think we went once, but it was cheap, so it was like $60 to go that one. No,
we went twice. Stupid, the day the pass we got is super it, cheap for Knott's.
Yeah, no, hey. We bought the pass. We went twice, and that was it. We never renewed it.
The way I see it is more chicken for me.
There you go, Joe.
That Knott's Berry Farm chicken is.
And we went back that one time to get a Charlie Brown shirt. That was the only thing.
We didn't actually go in the park. You just pulled into one of the driveways and then one of the parking lots, and I just jumped out and bought the shirt. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of our peanut sketches. Just so.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was it's the one that Jess wears. Yeah.
When yeah, yeah.
Down, I so. Think the other thing to be talking about though too is I just read today on Eater LA that it looks like they're going to be going to 25% indoor dining as well too. So we're seeing stuff open up, and the whole thing that's another question, because again, that's another where you're going to be inside for a long periods of time.
Yeah.
This is what I don't understand. And I don't think that any of us are qualified to answer this correctly, but we went into lockdown when there was 10,000 cases a day, a year ago. And now there's still like 60 or 70,000 cases a day, and they're letting everybody out of lockdown. It's like, and again, they're saying over and over again, well, this will probably lead to another spike in cases. So there should be at least one more, you know, credible threat to all of our existences, you know, over the next few months prior to us all getting vaccinated. And so I don't
understand. Are they doing it though based on ICU capacity? Is that still the barometer
that's one of them?
Yeah, I mean, I think
that's the three.
Yeah, that's probably the way it is. But see, here's the way I look at it. It's like when two cars get into a car accident together, that's just two cars. But when the 400 cars behind it don't see the accident, it's an icy road, and one after the other starts crashing into them, then you got a shit problem there.
Everything we're talking about is semantics anyway, because you know, Texas and Mississippi is just opening everything up and not letting anybody mask, which is basically the same way as saying this is the section of the pool that you can pee in. It's not going to make a difference.
By the way,
I have a feeling Texas wants to actually kill everyone that's living there at this point.
Oh, without a doubt.
they
definitely. I don't understand. Like, and I know people are like, "Oh, fuck them." I'm like, "That was not their decision. They got fucked over during the ice storm, and they're getting fucked over now."
Right.
Leave the actual people of Texas alone and go after the freaking governor.
Well, look at the governor of Idaho, who basically said that they should burn the masks.
They burned them on the port. The
and then Indiana, they burned them. They were burning them too. But it was like the actual governor of the state told people they should burn their masks.
That's so. Yeah.
Somebody should go there with a potato and him right in his fucking head with it and walk away.
So speaking of governors, Chris Cuomo has been getting a lot of flack because he has not addressed the scandals his brother Andrew Cuomo has been involved in, in New York, although he claims that it's CNN that told him not to speak about it. So my question to you is, should CNN allow Chris Cuomo to cover his brother's scandals, or is it the right decision to keep him from covering them? Now, to me, it seems like that's a conflict of interest, that he shouldn't, you know, he's supposed to be a journalist, he's supposed to be, you know, unbiased, and on top of that, his brother is the governor. So I don't see any problem with. I think I would see a problem if he was covering it because of that conflict of interest. What do you think, Elizabeth?
No, it's 100% a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. They don't allow those kind of situations, you know, being too close to the case. There was, remember that Martin Shkreli guy who bought the Wu-Tang album and jacked up the price of EpiPens and all that?
Yes.
there was a woman who was covering him, and she like basically fell in love with him, which is a whole insane side story. But she threw away her career for this piece of shit because she like was trying not to. And I forget which it was, a reputable magazine that like, I want to say Forbes or something like something along those lines. That was like, you can't either kind of stop dating him or doing what you're doing, or you can't keep covering him because this is a huge conflict of interest. You're too close. You might not report things accurately, et cetera. And, you know, they don't allow that. If you are like too involved or too close to the thing, you're not a theoretically objective reporter. And obviously it's his brother. He's not going to be objective unless he hates right. his brother, but they were pretty buddy buddy all during the pandemic. So I don't think Chris hates Andrew, you know? So mm-hmm. yeah. it's 100% the right decision. And I don't know why. I'm sure people are acting like they're trying to cover things up, but it's like, no, wouldn't you just trust anything Chris Cuomo said about his brother? It's super smart for CNN to not allow it.
Absolutely. And I don't think any other network would actually allow him to do that. Joe.
I mean, also like she said, they like each other, but yeah. I would like to see the interview, because I think it would end up being like Bill Murray and Rick Moranis in Ghostbusters 2 when they were in the courtroom, and Bill Murray is just telling them the thing to say, and then he's just saying the same thing. He's just parroting. That would be hilarious. No, it's never going to happen, guys. Yeah. It's a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
You know what? If you want to hear what they feel about it, go to their Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, and even like a Fox, even like a Fox News or something like that would be like, no, we're, you know, wouldn't allow it if it was their station. I think it's just being spun by more conservative.
I like
outlets.
How you saved it by saying theoretically.
I mean, who's to say that Fox wouldn't?
Know Fox.
Yeah, so but theoretically, if it was a situation where, you know, the anchors were on that channel and a governor, they shouldn't, you know, but. Like I said, I think it's a conservative spin to be like, look, CNN's covering up what Andrew Cuomo's doing because they won't allow his brother, who has the major show, you know, on the channel to talk about it. They're hiding things. And it's like, no, every other outlet's covering them thoroughly. It's just not the guy whose brother is.
I'm sure CNN's pissed off about it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
they're
sure
probably
CNN
like, God
wants
damn
to cover, and they're like, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they should also know that, you know, that they do have an employee who is related to their governor. So that's, you know, it was bound to happen that a story of his would come out and he wouldn't be able to cover it or for whatever, good or bad. Mm-hmm. Pete.
This story is like, it's the greatest reason why Republicans are so fucking evil and why liberals are so like pussies. Because you've got Republicans who are thrilled that this is going on now because probably the biggest voice in the Democratic Party, other than now the president of the United States, was Cuomo. And then this whole thing happens. And it clearly turned into a snowball because so many of the things that if you actually read all this stuff, so much of this is a story about nothing. Some of it, you could question some of the stuff he may have said to some of his aides, but at the end of the day, it's not like it's nothing like where, you know, like if this was 5 years ago or any time before Harvey Weinstein, this wouldn't even be an issue because he never grabbed anyone. He never like threatened anyone with sex or anything like that. He basically was a dude who was looking to get laid. I mean, like, that's literally what he was. I mean, he's a single guy, figured, hey, I got a really good job and I'm trying to hook up. And if you look, see, he's clearly nothing like Bill Clinton because all the women that are coming out are fairly attractive. So I think he was just putting the cards out there, trying to see if somebody would pick up one of the cards and go, hey, yeah, I'm interested. But, you know, I guess you just can't do that if you're the governor of New York. But
isn't the theory, too, that they're going after him to try to get him out so that the state won't prosecute Trump?
Well, no, I mean, that's what Republicans are saying. But there's the thing is that, I think short of you seeing like a video of Cuomo wearing like a full Hitler garb, it doesn't really matter. because the truth of it is New York, other than maybe here, and Washington, D.C., New York is the most liberal possible state you could find. There's only 36% of people that voted for Trump in the last election. And so no matter who gets who is going to get that job, it's going to be a Democrat. The problem for the Democrats is that they don't really have anybody else that's like so high up in the ranks in New York that they can take his spot in the event he, you know, he.
Well, that's what some people are theorizing, is because everybody else is weak, they could get a Republican governor in who could
that would involve 2 years from now, because he's not up for re-election for until 2022. By then, if Trump's not already under indictment, something's really wrong with the situation. Yeah. But what I'm trying to get at is that there's nobody nearly as powerful as Cuomo in New York State. And what's happening now is the same thing that happened with Al Franken, but like 10 times worse, because you added in the COVID thing. Now, the COVID thing, again, looks really bad on paper. They lied about what, like, the amount of people that died in nursing homes. Yes, that's kind of bad. But then the argument is, well, the reason why they did it was because Trump was being so vindictive to New York that they thought that if he would use this as a way to punish New York even further. Now, that's what they're claiming. Now, whether or not that's true, you can't really question it, because you just don't know. But you do know that Trump did have a hard on for Cuomo and for New York State, because it stopped liking him for some reason. And so, you know, I mean, so the whole sexual harassment thing, again, it's 99% non-issues. One woman complained to them yesterday because during a picture, his hand went to the small of her back. Now, I mean, again, I'm sorry, but we got to get to a point where, you know, maybe women should start wearing like sensors, because if you touch one area of the back, you don't hear anything. But if you, okay, got to move my hand again, because you cannot. I mean, listen, I'm not trying to be like a sexist or misogynistic, but it's like the rules change so quickly that you got to kind of decide.
It's not a rule change. The small of the back is different than the upper back.
It's like you're taking a picture.
That.
Like, I can tell you from experience, I've taken pictures. If I have somebody on the right of me, somebody on the left of me, or whatever else, my hand just goes behind me, and wherever, you know, if it lands on the top of their back, the lower back, it's where it is. Now, again, like, you know, somebody else was asking one of his other aides, saying, hey, did you find me any dates recently? Now, again, I don't think he was saying that seriously. I don't know his mind, so I can't tell you if that's true. But you know what? Maybe because he's a governor, I guess you got to hold yourself to a different standard. Yeah, I get that. But at the same time, we've reached the point where everybody's offended by anything and everything, and we have to decide, are we going to become robots that cannot say a word to anybody else if it's not exactly about what they're there for? If you're not walking into the room from the second you stand, you walk into that room, from the second you walk out, you're not talking about the exact business that you're there for, anything is questionable. If you make a joke that's remotely like questionable, that's a problem. If you say something that maybe somebody doesn't like because it's maybe not the same viewpoint as them, that's questionable. Everything is now questionable. And the problem is that, as you know, hopefully everybody on this screen will at one point be successful enough to be in this position. But when you get into a position where people are taking cues from you, you have to worry about everything you do and say. And you can't be a good leader if you're spending all day editing yourself before you say it. Now, again, I'm not even defending Andrew Cuomo. I'm just defending the idea that we got to get to a point where there's got to be a line.
We're not going to get there. It's just getting worse and worse each day. That's the reality. I mean, the next story that I want to talk about is Pepe Le Pew, you know?
but it's going to get to a point where somebody's going to come out and say, he never said anything to me or he did anything to me, but I kind of thought he was looking at me funny once. Wow. And that's when we're going to be at that place where it's like, okay, now it's looks that we're having to worry about. It's like, and there will be people that'll defend that and say, oh no, I'm sorry, you can't look at somebody the wrong way. Well, what's the right way? Yeah. You know, there's just like, until we come out with a guidebook that says these are all the things that as of today are not allowed. You know,
I've said it before. I think we are at a very reactionary period, and I don't disagree that, you know, things can go too far with like being overly careful or overly sensitive. But I have to be honest, I don't know all the ins and outs of the Cuomo like accusations. I haven't read them all. So I can't really speak to that, but I think things will get eventually get better, but it is in a very reactionary period and everybody's still feeling out like what, you know, knowing things were inappropriate in the past often and looking at it now and trying to figure out, you know, does, you know, what applies, what doesn't. And, you know, it's hard.
Happy International Women's Day, everybody.
So speaking of sexual harassment accusations, Temple of Q, the Looney Tunes character, has been edited out of the upcoming Space Jam 2 movie because people are saying that his character has been accused of promoting rape culture. So my question to you is, when you were a kid and you watched Pepe Le Pew in a cartoon, did you have any concerns about him being involved in rape, or do you think kids today would? Now, I have to say, I have to tell you, I did read a tweet from someone today about this that I have to share with you guys. And this person said, it should not be surprising to anyone that now they're saying this because everybody knew that he was a wannabe rapist. That's literally what this guy wrote on Twitter. And my mind just went crazy. So I just wanted to explode. Chris, what do you have to say about this?
Well, first of all, I don't know. I mean, maybe I grew up in a different world, but I don't know too many children who are thinking about rape. First of all, that's just off the bat. Let's just talk about that because
it's dramatic.
It's a little bit
word to choose.
It's a dramatic word to choose. Like nobody was thinking that. But I will say this: growing up, watching him, watching like cartoons like Pepe Le Pew and stuff like that, like I always kind of felt a little bit strange about it because it just seemed like it was just a little too much. But here's the thing: it's like it kind of goes back to where what Peter was talking about a minute ago. It's like, where do we draw the line? Because if Pepe Le Pew is a rapist, well then Jim Carrey is a rapist because he basically did a Pepe Le Pew impression in the movie The Mask. So does that make Jim Carrey a rapist, or does that make
a wannabe rapist,
or do we like can we show The Mask anymore, or do we have to cut out that scene if the mask is ever put out in streaming services? Like how far does it go? And also too, again, it's these kinds of things, these kinds of reactions that I don't like. It's because it's, to me, when you do things like that, when you take these extremes and you take out a cartoon character from Space Jam because you think it promotes rape culture, well then, those kinds of things makes people look at it and be like, oh, hey, this is ridiculous. And then when people start saying this is ridiculous, it also takes away from the power of real situations. Mm-hmm. You know, people who are really victims of this word. You know what I mean? So we have to get to it. We have to stop with stuff like this. Like it was a cartoon. We understand. Like here's the thing. Do like fucking what like you know some of these Zuma servers have done. Like keep the cartoon in there. We understand. Also, too, it's Space Jam. Don't have them be Pepe Le Pew. Have them be different. You know what I mean? Like Pepe Le Pew can still be in the movie. Just don't have them like being wild,
like
creepy. Right. Yeah. Don't have him being wild, creepy, and like creep on Lola Bunny. That's really all you have to do. Taking him out of the movie completely is just like an overstep. You know what I mean? Because at this point, and if you really think about it, if we're going to go with Looney Tunes, period, you might as well cancel like half the cartoons because there's a lot of racist shit in there. Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck have done some like wild, creepy shit when it comes to like female characters. And even if you go back to Space Jam 1, Bugs Bunny was wild creepy with fucking Lola Bunny. So like, where does it stop? That's my only take on it.
Okay, Joe, and then I'll go to Elizabeth. Go ahead, Joe.
Elizabeth was ahead of me.
Okay, Elizabeth.
Oh, okay. Well, one thing I will say, no, I don't think kids are thinking about like, yeah, he's a rapist or having that in mind. But I was watching the cartoon on our, you know, on our feed. That cat he's chasing looks terrified and upset. It's not a great thing. And that was always kind of like an icky element to it, is the, mm-hmm. the little cat that would get mistaken for a skunk and he'd be chasing her. It's aggressive and it's an unpleasant thing. And so I get why maybe, you know, don't erase that cartoon from the history or the narrative, but like maybe don't. Yeah. I'm not surprised it doesn't get played very often because it's not really the weird vibe. It's creepy. And yeah, I have to ask though, how integral to the plot of either Space Jam movie was Pepe Le Pew? I don't even remember him in the first one.
Thank you.
So it is a little. Like I said, it's a reactionary thing. I think to just take him out of the sequel.
It's a cartoon. It's a cartoon skunk
who's, I know.
Playing, who's playing a French skunk. I mean, French they should be more offended by the French should be the ones who
that,
be
right. But that part.
Really just, but kids do internalize stuff, and so it so and the problem for girls for so long has been, you know, if a boy is mean to you or chases you or won't leave you alone, that just means he likes you. And that's not always the case, but you're taught from that young age that it's okay for someone to harass you, to invade your space, and all those things. And I'm not talking about just from the cartoon. I'm talking about, you know, like society as a whole. Like, mm-hmm. if mm-hmm. a little boy is bullying a little girl, they always say, oh, it's because he likes her. It's like, no, maybe he's just being a little piece of shit to her.
That's also that.
And
I agree with you on that point, Elizabeth, 100%.
And so I think that, you know, mm-hmm. the cartoon is a bit of a symptom of that. And also tells little boys, you know, never give up the chase. You know, she does want you to go after her if it is someone you like. And no matter how much she resists, just keep doing it. It doesn't matter what, how she feels or thinks about it. Like, that's why that message of that cartoon, even though it's just a cartoon, is not great. But again, I also am of the mind of, like, how fucking integral to the plot of Space Jam 2 is Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah.
You know, why even include him in the first place just because he's a classic character? I feel like kids don't even know who Pepe Le Pew is. Are kids even going to watch Space Jam 2?
I don't even know if they even know Looney Tunes like that. Really, like,
you don't know Looney Tunes.
Space Jam 2 is, like, really for us. Like, just, like, yeah. I think that's really for, like, Toy Story 4 was for us as adults.
Yeah.
For little kids. Like, yeah, you can take little kids to go see it, but Space Jam 2 is kind of for us.
Yeah. But I know we've discussed it before, but I do think, like, you just have to be willing. I don't believe in, like, yeah, like I've said, erasing everything from history. That's like 1984 level shit. You can't pretend it never happened. You're doomed right. to repeat, and you're doomed to repeat it
right.
if you ignore it and forget about it. But I mean, yeah, just put labels in front of shit sometimes and be like, hey, this is an antiquated thing. Or or if you do have Pepe Le Pew in Space Jam 2, yeah, that rhymed. Don't have him act like Pepe Le Pew. Just make him, like, a really sick point guard or something. I don't know.
She's sorry, that's funny. He's just, just nasty with it.
Go ahead, Joe.
Listen, Looney Tunes, there's so many things problematic with Looney Tunes that we're okay with. I mean, Porky Pig has a stutter. They make fun of him with the stutter, and, like, no one has a problem with that. They blow up people constantly. They're blowing up people. They're shooting people. The violence is everywhere in Looney Tunes cartoons, and everything's just fine. Oh, it's just a cartoon. So I think this is a difference here. And listen, kids, don't do what Pepe Le Pew did. I mean, if you really want to get the girl, you got to, like, ignore her, because that's the girl wants a guy that doesn't chase them. Everyone wants a guy that completely ignores them.
definitely don't be the Tex Avery wolf, though. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh, no.
Oh, my God.
Tex Avery was... Tex Avery, who was with Warner Brothers for a while, has some... He actually had some cartoons that he made just for adults that are really, really problematic. But still, yes, that's the whole idea. The wolf howl, the Tex Avery wolf howl is, how old is she?
No!
That's true.
Is it?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my
actually
God.
In the cartoon.
I used to like him.
Hey, at least he's asking. At least he's not just going right forward. At least he's like, hey, show me your ID.
At least he's asking.
Yeah.
Did you have your hand up earlier?
I mean, it was just really to kind of reiterate the point. I mean, I get it. Like, there's stuff that there were different standards at different times. And again, to me, like the Pepe Le Pew thing, it would probably be more offensive for the French, you know, but like what Joe said, it's true. I mean, there's so much in the Looney Tunes cartoons that you could easily say, well, this is kind of like an issue. So, I mean, I couldn't care less if they have them in the Space Jams 2 movie. I couldn't care less much about the Space Jams movie anyway.
It's just Space Jam.
There's only one Jam.
I'm talking about them as a franchise.
Okay.
I don't care if they're in either of those, if he's in either of those movies, to be honest with you. But I mean, but at the end of the day, again, we're just going to keep going in circles because, you know, it's so funny. Like, if you watched John Oliver last night, and this is something that's I saw this last week when it was happening. When we're in the middle of our politicians trying to get to the bottom of how this attack on the Capitol happened, everybody's covering it. You know, they're covering the coverage of it of the hearings, except Fox News, who spent the whole day talking about Dr. Seuss getting canceled, which wasn't true.
Which wasn't true at all.
But the reality of it is the Dr. Seuss people saw that there were certain problematic things in some of the books and removed them from publication. But again, this is where we're at because Pepe Le Pew now will be a liberal icon. Somehow or another. This is the thing. Liberals are the ones saying, oh, no, we can't have Pepe Le Pew anymore because of this. But, you know, what will happen is Fox News will pick it up and go, see, look, now we can't even do Pepe Le Pew. Uh-oh. They'll look at what the liberals are doing. Who's next? Bugs? Like, you know, it's – and you know what? They're probably right. Bugs Bunny probably is coming soon. I mean, Porky Pig is definitely a goner sooner or later, as soon as the first person with some kind of speech impediment complains about it. And then Bugs Bunny will hit the deck next. And that's the problem that we're seeing. I mean, the country's biggest problem is no longer red and blue. It's more about now how much we can eat our own on every possible argument. It's like the Republicans are all fighting themselves. We're going to fight all of ourselves now because you have to ultra liberal yourself to a point that it's just not. It's unconscionable. I mean, like the fact that we've been talking about this, or the fact that we'd been on last week, we'd have been talking about Dr. Seuss. It's just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, a couple things. Like, I see your point to a degree, but I also, as far as like conservatives saying everything that gets canceled is like, you know, they're taking up the cause or like it's a liberal icon or whatever. I actually saw a tweet that kind of said they don't have to do any policy. They just point out things that are being quote unquote canceled that a more conservative person might like or be annoyed by, and so that's how they just keep people in the hold of the Republican Party that way, or the more conservative party. Is you don't have to worry about policy if you just keep people angry about this other stuff that matters and doesn't matter at the same time, you know?
Yep.
Hey guys,
Real quick, because people that are talking about how we had to cancel Pepe Le Pew, in the same movie right now, there's an argument on social media about how Lola Bunny now has, and I'm dead serious about this, now has smaller breasts than she did in the first movie.
Yeah.
And there was a huge argument about this. What's the whole thing? No, it's been 25 years, man. That's a sports bra. Come on.
Well, actually, I heard a great argument, too, is that it's bullshit. That almost in favor of how she looked before, because it's bullshit that they had to defeminize her in a way, give her smaller curves because people over sexualized her in the first place. That shouldn't be the damn bunny's fault. It should be society's fault for being freaking weirdos who can't handle a bunny with boobs.
Okay, guys, so I want to move on.
Well, I'm so glad I got the last word with bunny with boobs.
We're running a little behind now. We still haven't covered our main topic.
Is she the bad bunny?
So with that being
said, if we just save it until tomorrow, I don't have to do any work tomorrow.
Happy International Bunny Women Day.
Okay, so on to our main story and everything that everyone's talking about right now, the main story. Last night, 17 million people watched Oprah Winfrey's interview with Prince Harry and his wife, Meghan Markle. And as advertised, there were a lot of revelations. Tonight, we're going to recap the highlights and discuss what this might do to the British monarchy. So before we get started, did any of you see the interview? And without going into too much detail, did it change your perception of Harry and Meghan as well as the royal family? Pete, let's start with you.
Well, I mean, you know, we watched it last night like a homework assignment.
Oh, I couldn't wait to watch it.
It's like we had to do it. But the reality of it is, you know, when you know, I went in assuming that Meghan Markle probably did have something to do with some of the stuff that went on, because like all the stories about how like she was mean to people and everything else, there was just so many of them that like I assumed, well, you know, she's a Hollywood person, she probably expects things a certain way and probably kind of gets away with acting this way. So I did kind of think that maybe she was like that. I tried looking today. I couldn't find anything like stories about her from before Harry. So I have to assume that a lot of that was blown out of proportion because of it.
Was she mean, or was she asking for things while being a black woman?
Yeah, well, that's, again, that's stuff to say. You know, I mean, look, with hindsight, you can point out everything. You could say, well, this is because this happened and this is because that happened. And at the time, I'm sure, you know, there might have been some. I mean, but to me, like, I think the biggest problem that she had, you know, beyond the fact that she was a woman of color, was that she also had, like, the problems with her father. Her father just turns out to be a major fuck up. Clearly, and is exactly he's the stereotype of every movie character who ever is, you know, is involved with somebody who made it rich by accident, in a sense, because, you know, here's the guy trying to glom in on it, and he's clearly just a trashy human being. And I think that didn't help her relationship. And then I guess the British do have like a stick up their ass about a lot of things, at least the older British. And, you know, and I guess this whole monarchy thing, I think more than anything else, to me, it just proves once again just how antiquated the whole idea of it is.
Yeah. It's like what I said the other day, you know, I mean, it's such an antiquated, you know, organization. And to me, it's just, it makes for great TV. It makes for great movies. I mean, it really doesn't, because I love watching anything that has to do with the monarchy, with the crown, you know. But I think like exactly what Pete said, and Pete also said something last night while we were watching it. He says, this is like the best thing for tourism. I mean, what's the first place you go to? You get to London. Where do you want to go? You want to go to Buckingham Palace. I mean, at least that's what it was.
Harry Potter Land.
You know, or Harry Potter Land. We're going to find some clips, but Chris and Elizabeth, did it change your perception at all? Let's
start with you know what? It kind of didn't change my perspective, because to me, honestly, this interview was fucking boring. Okay. Like it was boring to me. Listen, here's why. Because one, Oprah shouldn't have done this interview. It should have been Gayle King. Gayle King is the best at interviewing. Also, it probably would have been a lot more interesting, because it would have got wild messy. And because with Oprah, it's different, because the way when people, because people act different around Oprah. Like, Oprah is this, like, basically a goddess to people. So everybody acts all prim and proper, because she has to be all prim and proper because of how she came up in this entertainment business. And it was a lot different being a famous woman in the 90s, being a famous Black woman in the 90s, trying to hold on to a TV show, because they were looking for any mistake for her to make to kick her off the TV. You know what I mean? So it's always different. So Gayle King should have done it first. Also, too, low-key, I wish that, like Meghan Markle was more like a Leslie Jones type, because then way more messy shit would have came out. Like, she probably would have came out telling about how Queen Elizabeth be having like Mandingo parties and all kinds of weird shit in the palace. Like, that's the shit I want to hear. You know what I mean? That's what we want to hear. And that's why Gayle King could have did it. Cause like, if we look at the R. Kelly interview with Gayle King, that shit got crazy. Like, that was a great interview. And like, and more shit came out too, when we got to see more insight. Like, we already knew he was a monster, and then we discovered how much of a monster he really was because of Gayle King. And and it was cool to see hear Megan's side of the story and everything like that, but it could have been a lot better if Oprah wasn't the interviewer. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, Elizabeth, and then we're going to start with the clips.
I'll be fast. No, it didn't particularly change my perception, because I already kind of, I liked them well enough. I think there were, you know, even though they didn't sound dramatic, the revelations that came out that Harry wasn't talking to his father for a period of time, or rather his father wasn't talking to him. Right. The discussion of what skin color baby Archie would have, the whole Meghan, Kate making Meghan cry, but they spun it to Meghan making Kate cry. I thought that stuff was interesting. I knew they weren't going to be like, guess what fucking Prince Philip said about me? And he used the N-word with a hard R when that was never going to happen.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
It was never going to happen. And I knew that going in. Also, you know, when Pete said he was searching for stuff, she's had friends of hers who like had worked with her on Suits and whatnot come out and say like, no, she's not mean, you know, that's all blown out of proportion. Like I said, I think mean is code for this Black woman who asked for things in the palace that we didn't give a shit about giving her, and but she asked for them, but she wouldn't stand down, and now we're sad because she made us look bad. So
Yeah, it didn't really change my perception either. Like, honestly, nothing that I heard was like, oh my gosh, it was so shocking. But we're going to talk about it a little bit more in detail. And I've got a lot of notes that I took. So let's start. So here's Meghan discussing one of the first times the press turned on her after reports surfaced.
It was a really hard week of the wedding, and she was upset about something, but she owned it and she apologized and she brought me flowers and a note apologizing. What was hard to get over was being blamed for something that not only I didn't do, but that happened to me, and the people who were part of our wedding going to our comms team and saying, I know this didn't happen.
So Oprah was very quick to compare how Kate was handled by the press versus how Meghan has been. So as we'll see later, race definitely played a part in the way that Meghan was handled. But do you guys think that there might have been any other reason why the press was so hostile towards her? Now, Elizabeth, I know you kind of touched upon it a little bit and Pete did as well. Do you guys think there's another reason, maybe because she was, you know, a Hollywood person as well? I mean, that's what I think, too.
I think it's American. She's an American from a working class, or not even working class, but not a high level background.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know her dad, I think, worked in as a lighting guy at one point in Hollywood or something like that. He has some very loose entertainment ties. And I actually can't remember what her mom does off the top of my head. But she is, you know, she said in the interview she's been working since she was 13. I think. It's this day class A American coming in. Yeah. Whatever wedding demands she had were probably not how it was demanded. I think the fight about the wedding between her and Kate had something to do with tights for the flower girls, like something really dumb, you know?
Yeah. Kate wasn't happy about.
Yeah, that like, I think because of it's a wedding and everything, so that pressure just blows what is basically a dumb fight, you know, argument out of proportion too. And I won't jump ahead, but like, I know one of the comparison headlines was like, for Meghan's wedding, it was like, oh, did she have flowers in her bouquet that could have killed Charlotte? Kate had the same flowers, like Lily of the Valley or something like that. Kate had the same flower in her bouquet, and they're like, look at Kate's lovely bouquet. Like, it's that ridiculous of a double standard going in.
Absolutely. And I always thought, too, that, you know, the fact that she was a woman of color played a huge part. Mm-hmm. And anybody that was, like, shocked to hear, you know, again, what was said about race.
Yeah.
Last night, I'm like, then you have no idea then.
And you don't know any people of color.
You really don't. Yeah. Chris.
Yeah. It's shocking to me that people are like, oh, wow, I can't believe that. It's like, oh, wait, white people are racist sometimes. Oh, shit. That big shocker.
the country that used to like run a fifth of the planet. And
right.
The sun
and literally like went empire. To places and like destroyed the indigenous population to like implement their own shit. Oh, crazy. Like, no. What people that went over to like Muslim countries and like genocided half of them just so they could like make them into Christians and stop being heathens? No, why? Why would they be racist? But I also think too, though, I think they had a problem with Meghan because, like Elizabeth said a minute ago, she's an American. That's so foreigners already. And two, I think from what you could tell in an interview or stuff like that, like she probably said no to a lot of things. And the fact that, you know, because they probably wanted him to marry somebody who was British, you know, being black probably would have been a factor too. But like if he'd have married somebody who's British, like that person would have been more like in line and yes, sir, no, ma'am, like done everything. And I think Meghan was like, no, I'm not doing this. Why would I need to do this? Or why do I need to have this? Or why do I need to go there? Like she probably turned down a lot of shit, like these press junkets that they had to do and like making appearances and all this other shit. Like, and I know a lot of, she did say she turned down a bunch of appearances so she could stay at home and take care of the kid. And I know they had a lot of problems with that shit, so that's probably was most of it, is that you know she didn't fall in line like she was expecting.
Because Kate's a commoner too. Mm-hmm. She's not, no titles, no nothing, but she's like upper middle class, but not money. Nope. And they all love Kate or love.
Yeah, she fell in line.
She was bred for what she was. I mean, she like a lot of these girls that William and Harry were involved with, because I kind of did this whole thing on it today. These were all women that were essentially in line to eventually hook up with one of them, you know, and Kate Middleton was at one time, you know, a party girl. She actually, it's what's funny is that when you look at the two of them, Kate and Meghan, Kate Middleton probably had a more problematic past than you would see with Meghan Markle, because Meghan Markle's past essentially was you know, she went from being a young girl to being an actress and she got a lot of work very early on in her life, and then met Harry. Whereas with Kate Middleton, if you go back, I mean, there was a ton of stuff about like her the guy she was with prior to William, her dating history, like that she used to like to party with her sister Pippa.
Yeah, Pippa was a party girl. Woo!
Yeah, so it's like they could have, like, if the British press really, really wanted to lay into Kate, they could have done it, but they chose not to because, again, she was part of a hierarchy of women that were probably meant to eventually end up with one of the royals, because there are women that are bred for that. I mean, if they come from an aristocratic family, that's what they're there for. And if they just have some indiscretions early in their life, well, that's okay, because as soon as the bell rings and they're supposed to get in the ring, then they become the person that they're supposed to be. And Meghan Markle wasn't in that mold.
Yeah, but Meghan also, even before Harry, though, she was a very intelligent woman. Like, I know she did work, you know, for women's issues in India. This is prior, you know, to being with Harry. She was she did a clean water campaign in Rwanda program that she was involved with. She was an advocate for gender equality and the empowerment of women, you know, with the UN. So this woman, she's a very smart, intelligent woman that seems like she knows what she wants, you know, and she was very set in her ways. And I think, like, some of the things that Elizabeth touched upon, I think that had a lot to do with that as well, Chris.
And it probably didn't help, too, is the fact that, like, okay, you look at this long line of people being, like, you know, marrying wealthy people, bang, 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 and everybody falls into line and everybody does whatever they're told, blah, blah, blah. Then you got this person who came from nothing that has the audacity to say no. Like, see, that's the biggest insult. And then on top of that, too, her starting that trend of saying no, they probably think that, like, she rubbed off onto her husband and he started denying a bunch of stuff. So, like, you know, she's the villain that just came in and fucked up the entire system that they've been having for 100 years.
She is the evil.
And nobody likes that.
She's
exactly.
The evil exotic temptress.
Yeah. She's a cancer to their society.
See, the thing is, you could almost kind of see it by the way that Oprah was asking certain questions. That question had to get asked because if you think about it, Harry lived his whole life inside this system and never once said boo about it. And then all of a sudden, here comes Meghan, and a year and a half after they're married, they're not a part of the royal family anymore.
Right.
And he said as much. He said, like, no, if he hadn't met her, he probably would have stayed within that system. He was honest about it, I think.
Yeah.
I thought he was very honest, but we're going to get to that as well. But one of the things I did want to say, that there was only like one thing that kind of turned me off a little bit about them, but I'm still like, I'm happy for them. I'm glad that they're doing what they're doing. I don't blame them for anything that they've done. But the part where, you know, where they talked about first moving out here, oh, we had no plan. We had no idea what we were going to do, but Tyler Perry let us use it. Stop. That to me was
as he would with just about anybody.
Tyler Perry, because I hear Tyler Perry is a wonderful human being, and I'm sure he would let anybody live in his house if he knew that they were homeless, because he has been known to do that. But for them to actually say that they were gonna be, you know, that they had no, you know, oh, we just didn't know what we were gonna do. Okay, you are people of privilege. Calm down a little bit. It's not like you don't have anywhere to go. You can't call up Elton John. I mean, you can't.
You are a little Germanic.
Have you guys not been to Tyler's place? Have you guys not been to Tyler's place? I mean, he lets me use it. He's in Atlanta most of the time. I got a key if you guys want to go out. It's a nice pool.
Is that where we have the satanic cabal?
That was the only thing when she was like, you know, we just, you know, we didn't have any, we didn't know what we were going to do. We just came out here like they had no money in a bank account. Like they had nothing. I'm like, relax. You know, there's people that have left their families under similar situations where they're not getting along with the family and they have nothing. So that was the only thing that I was just kind of like rolling my eyes. But other than that, you know, I was like totally on board with what they were saying. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Okay, so apparently the pressure had gotten so bad that Meghan considered suicide, which reached a crisis point on the night that she and Harry were to attend a large event at the Royal Albert Hall. Let's watch.
I knew that if I didn't say it, that I would do it. And I just didn't want to be alive anymore. And that was a very clear and real and frightening constant thought. But we had to go to this event, and I remember him saying, I don't think you can go. And I said, I can't be left alone.
Because you were afraid of what you might do.
So I know that there's definitely people that would question Megan's level of despair considering the circumstances of her life. And by that, I mean that she went from being a successful TV actress like we were just talking about to becoming a princess. But do you think it's unfair for people to judge her? I mean, I do, because regardless of, you know, how much money you have, what your status is, you know, you're still living this day by day. You know, she had I'm sure she had some postpartum, you know, I mean, seeing everything, the tabloids attacking her every single day. I don't care how much money you have. And again, how much privilege you're born with or you acquire, you're still a human being no matter what.
Well, that's also, too, it's and like, it's not, she wasn't.
It was heartbreaking.
But it wasn't like she was just free to do whatever she wants to do. That was another job. Like, that, as soon as she got married to this dude, that was another job. They had a 2-year itinerary put right in front of her, like, day of the wedding. Like, that's two years of your life that you can't control shit. You can't do shit. Like, damn near, even the pregnancy was, like, scheduled. Like, that's not, it's totally different. So basically, it's like, that's like sending somebody to jail with a lot of money, but they can't go nowhere. Like, they're in jail. So you would be depressed with shit if you were a billionaire sitting in jail and everybody still told you where to go, when to sleep, how to eat.
What's the money for?
Yeah. Bullshit. It's not like she could use it. She said they took her passport, driver's license, I think bank cards, all those things. Yeah. She doesn't have access to that. So it's not like she could just up and go anywhere she wants to. And I'm guessing she might have had some postpartum issues, but clearly had partum while she's pregnant issues. Mm-hmm. You know, which doesn't get talked about. I think it's kind of interesting that no one's really kind of brought that up or discussed that, because maybe she wouldn't have felt that way if she hadn't been pregnant, but it's, you know, or maybe she did and pregnancy exacerbated that. It's, you know, I'm no doctor or clinician, but it's likely. And yeah, it's like Chris said, it's, you know, money doesn't buy happiness, but it does make life a hell of a lot easier. Don't get me wrong. But if you can't use any of it or do anything, and when she, am I jumping a clip by bringing up the fact that she asked for help directly and they said no?
No.
Okay. Cause she said that she was like, I really feel like I need to go see somebody and do something about this. And they told her, no, you cannot do that because it would look bad. Wow. By acknowledging, which is extra crazy because William and Harry and Kate and then Meghan eventually spent several years doing mental health charity things. And Harry's been so open about the toll that this life has taken on his mental health, especially with the death of his mom, that for them to look her in the face and say, no, you can't go to a doctor about this. That would all fuck with your head pretty hard.
Terrible. Yeah. Pete?
See, this is the only part of the interview that I was kind of like, okay. I mean, look, if she really was like to a point where she felt suicidal, that's terrible, and I could not like mock that in any way. But at the same time, I have to ask, you know, and this is going to sound terrible when I say it, but she came from a world where, had she been a bigger star, she would have faced a lot of the same scrutiny, maybe not the viciousness that she got from the British press, but she would have, as she had risen as an actress, she would have had to learn to deal with negative press and paparazzi in a way.
But she would have had control over what she could say and do about it. She didn't have that control.
She's still, you know, at some point, you're still a human being. If she said to them, oh, I want to get help and I'm not, and you know, and they're saying no to her, she can't just do it. I mean, like, see, that's the place where I say to myself, you know what? I understand that you were in pain, but at the same time, your pain is manageable in the sense of you could have gotten up at any point in time and said, well, you know what? I don't give a shit. There's a point in time when I'm going to say, I'm going to go see a doctor. And if I can keep it quiet, that's great. If I can't keep it quiet, well, that's just the way it is. Maybe it just makes me look more human if people realize that I have issues like everybody else. And so, you know, when she's talking about how lonely and dark a place it was, I just have to think to myself, some of that you knew going in was going to be the case, because you had to know that, you know, being part of a royal establishment meant that this was a life of service thing, and that's it. You know,
she said she was willing to, she knew what that was going in, at least as far as like a life of service, and that she gave up her career, gave up all her stuff back home to be part of this. I just think maybe she didn't anticipate how isolating it would be.
I just tend to believe that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to hear that interview and say, oh, you know, darn, I wish I could be, a royal person with unlimited influence and wealth and then have problems. And then I'll let me figure out how to fix my problems.
But I think that's a lack of empathy people have if they're sarcastically thinking of it.
I don't have a lack of empathy for her. I just have a question about like, where was the line? I mean, see, here's the part that, like, the only part that I would put on Harry from day one, and that is that because he went through what he went through with his mother, because he had to have some serious understanding of what she was in for. Maybe he just didn't let her know exactly how bad it could be, And also, look, maybe because I'm a little bit older, I do remember that. Princess Diana was the darling of the British press until she wasn't any longer. Mm-hmm.
Until Charles decided to
be out there doing what he wanted to do, and then they turned on her, and then look what happens.
I think he kind of know. I mean, this is totally speculative. I think he kind of knows he messed up by not fully briefing her on how bad it could get, and I think that's why they made the drastic decision to leave. And he said as much, that he's basically right. He saw this cycle repeating itself and was like, no more. I lost my mom this way. I can't lose my wife, possibly child, I'm not doing this. I think unfortunately she had to get to a very dark place for it to be a breaking point for him, because he himself said, it's you're stuck in that cycle and that hamster wheel, basically, of the being part of the firm, the institution, as they kept calling it. And it's people kind of compared it like he was in a cult and she got him out.
Yeah.
But I also think too that a lot of people don't understand that the crown is what it is. It's an institution. Mm-hmm. Settled, yeah. I'm not saying I'm an expert because I've watched The Crown, but there's certain things that, we are programmed. Even as a little girl, like, I remember watching Princess Diana getting married. I was very young, sitting on the floor, watching it on television, going, oh, every little girl wants to be a prince. Well, most little girls want to be a princess, I should say. But again,
you're
right. You're absolutely right. And, everybody has this concept and this notion of, to be a princess is a wonderful thing. But no, I genuinely believe that she did not know what she was getting herself into. She probably said, okay, I have to go to a couple of engagements. I'm going to be doing some traveling, whatnot. But the institution of the crown is just a whole different ballpark.
Well, I think she really didn't, because in the beginning, she said the first meeting she thought would be less formal and that she wouldn't have to curtsy. And they're you have to curtsy, even though this is a private, like, personal meeting we're having off the clock, not in front of cameras. And so she was like, holy shit, are you serious?
Well, yeah,
mother had to curtsy, to the queen. Yeah. Again, if you watch The Crown, you'll know that. But, she said, well, I didn't really know too much about it. I never even Googled, Prince Harry or whatever. I call bullshit on that, too. Right. I'm like, yeah. Okay, please.
Come on.
You know who he was. But again, I still think that she had no concept of how much she was going to be expected to give up and to also, to do as part of her job.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also the same thing. It's like, I liken it to, like, me joining the military. When I signed up to be in the Marines, I didn't have, we have a general idea. We watch some movies. They were like, mm-hmm. We do a little research and shit like that. But until the day I fucking stepped on the yellow footprints. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, romanticize it. Yeah, sure, yeah. Like, going to battle and all that shit. But, like, you never really know how it is. And so, like, going to boot camp, rock my world. And, like, training, rock my world. And then even deploying, rock my world.
Right.
Like, you can watch war on TV all day. But until you're actually in it, it's totally different, and nobody can prepare you for it. The only thing you can do is just get through it. And I think it's the same thing with her. Like, sure, she might have known a few things, or even if Harry, like, broke it down to her 100%, like, this is what you're gonna have to do every single day, blah blah blah, it still doesn't impact you as much as actually going through it. There's just
way. It's not the same as being a celebrity, Pete. It's I not. Have to agree with you on that. It's a completely different ballpark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The expectations are totally different.
Absolutely. I'm arguing it.
You had your hand raised like an hour ago. Did you want to say anything?
Joe, I'm sorry. Did you want to ask?
We've been talking over you.
I just have so much to say about this.
Listen, if anyone out there has any types of suicidal thoughts or anything like that, please go get help. And then if somebody, which pisses me the heck off, if somebody asks for help and they say no, find a way to get out there, do it yourself. Call the suicide prevention hotline. Suicide's a serious thing. And for everyone who is sitting there going, oh, you know, suicide is the princess of, and yet we don't question when our favorite celebrities also commit suicide, when it sounds like their life is really great and it's not, like the late great Robin Williams or mm-hmm. you know, there's just a ton of different people, and so that seems to be okay. So I really don't like when people want to joke about stuff like this. You know, we don't know what her situation is. We don't know what her mental situation was at the time, and so that's what I really wanted to say. So mm-hmm. Oh, and yes, Pete, it did sound horrible. So if she said it would, but everyone's forgotten what that was because that was like an hour ago now. So I mean, that's what I wanted to try. Next time I won't be nice and I'll just interrupt the shit out of everybody. So
well, yeah. I mean, you know what? Again,
free for all, baby.
No, nobody on here is insensitive to people who are suffering through mental issues that could lead to them committing suicide. Clearly, we all have more than one person in our life, including one that we all share that went through this. But at the same time, she could have done things about it. Like, she didn't have to just, oh, you know, she kept, like, throughout that whole interview, it was just always again and again, the firm,
I think you misunderstand the level of control. And I think there's a misunderstanding of the type of what depression can do to you. If you do ask for help and someone tells you no, and then you think, well, yeah, okay, that's, I'm, you know, yeah, I like, don't need it. I'm not worth it. But it gets worse.
But I get that. But what I'm trying to get at here is that there are people that either get to the point of considering suicide or actually commit suicide who have no other alternatives in their minds, that there is nowhere. I mean, like, they don't have a support system. They don't have the ability to do something. They don't have the financial wherewithal to do anything. This woman had all of those things.
She didn't think she had those things.
That's the part that I'm a little disingenuous. I mean,
well, I don't know for a fact,
but that's just how I feel.
Yeah, it's hard to say that, because that'd be like saying, like, simply, like, if the president wants to get away from Secret Service, he can. Like, I don't know if it's that easy. Yeah. You know, it'd be like the president's trying to sneak away to have a moment where it's like, yeah, he could maybe hide in his office, but like, if you wanted to go like a secret trip, I don't think the president would be able to, mm-hmm. you know.
But imagine if she had gone to seek help on her own, like you're saying, Pete, that she could have just gone off and said, you know what, I'm going to go. I mean, she would have had thousands of press outside. Mm-hmm. I mean, they would have just, like, imagine the horrible things they would have continued to say about her, considering everything else. I mean, they were complaining about her, the flowers, or whatever.
And I think she explained within the interview that I think there was sort of a question of, like, well, why didn't she just go, you know, if they told you no, why didn't you go yourself? And she said, I can't remember exactly, but I feel like she explained that she sort of felt like she couldn't and shouldn't, and was stuck in that dark place.
I just feel like if you're at a point where you're considering all these horrible things, and you have the wherewithal to do something about it, you know what? I'm sorry, there's just no institution that's more important than your own health. And I mean that's the only place, because and again, maybe my reasoning is because of the fact that we've had friends who did commit suicide, mm-hmm. and they committed suicide without any support system that could have stopped it from happening. You know, without having the ability to, like, the people that, there's a lot of people, especially in the last year, who committed suicide because they didn't have a way out.
Yeah, but
I'm sorry, but Meghan Markle always has a way out. No matter
if you're in that depressed state, you don't think you have that option available to you.
Maybe it's that.
That's the difference.
But imagine, like, you know, like we're talking about, you know, someone that we know that, you know, that went through this. And this person did have a support system.
Yeah.
And guess what? He did have a support system, and it still wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
So imagine someone like her. You think she had the support system that we were to our friend?
We don't know what her family situation is with her mother, or what it is with her friends. We don't know any of that stuff.
But we don't know.
She was technically kind of taken from whatever that support system might have been. If she's pretty close with her mother,
she walked into that.
Fine, shut off from it then after she entered it. She was closed off from it. Yeah. They don't allow you to just go call up your friend or, you know, and how do you explain to your friend that situation? They don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, so probably the most explosive revelation of the night was about a conversation before the birth of their first child, Archie. Let's watch. Archie.
It's a cute name for me.
So we have in tandem the conversation of he won't be given security. He's not going to be given a title. And also concerns and conversations about how dark his skin might be when he's born.
What? About how dark your baby is going to be?
Potentially, and what that would mean or look like.
Ooh.
That was relayed to me from Harry. Those were conversations that family had with him.
In this particular conversation, but we did find out that it wasn't the Queen or Prince Philip. Does this sound like a credible allegation made by Meghan? And if so, what does this really say about the British royals? I think it was Charles.
That's well, what,
oh, it's 100% yeah, Charles. 100%. Everybody knows it's Charles. Yeah. Well, Charles in charge of being a racist over there.
Yeah. Well, it's also like, the reason why I just explained to the audience that heard me laughing. The reason why I'm laughing is because of how surprised Oprah pretended she was. I'm like, really? You're surprised that white people to this day are still racist? Oh, come on, Oprah.
But that's Oprah.
Oprah hasn't had an actual human emotion in 30 years. But that was Oprah for the cameras doing...
That's what she, in the back of her, like, she wasn't surprised. In the back of her mind, she was like, oh, this shit about to be lit. I'm about to get 17.
You think I paid that $10 million for this?
Yeah. How is it? Of course it's substantiated. Like, it doesn't matter who, if we can't put a name to whoever said it. Like, yeah, you can't point blame because, truth be told, there are probably several people involved in that conversation. Why would she, like, why on earth? That's also like, to me, that's too detailed or too intricate of a lie to just make up. Like, who would just be like, you know what? They talk shit about my baby, about how dark or, you know, whatever color that my baby's going to be. Who would just say that? So obviously it's a real conversation that was had. And also too, like, if it is a lie, why would her husband be that messy and be like, oh, guess who said so? Like, what would be the benefit to him to, like, you know, like, make him look. He already got her. Does he win brownie points? Be like, oh, my family was saying this. Like, yeah. Come on, stop it.
Yeah, no, I definitely think it was Charles too, because that's what, you know, why their relationship is so fractured. Because, I mean, first and foremost, their parents, no matter who they are, doesn't matter how much money they have, you know, what titles they have, they're still parents. And they talked about their child. And that's just never okay.
Yeah.
But when Harry joined the interview, Oprah's big question to him was why did he want to change the life that he had? So here it is. Let's watch.
You wanted freedom from that life. You wanted freedom to make your own money.
We didn't want to give up, or we didn't want to turn our backs on the associations and the people that we'd been supporting. I had three conversations with my grandmother and two conversations with my father before he stopped taking my calls. And then said, can you put this all in writing, what your plan is?
So you just said that your dad stopped taking your calls. Why did he stop taking your calls?
Because I took matters in... By that point, I took matters into my own hands. I think everyone needs to have some compassion for them in that situation, right? There is a level of control by fear that has existed for generations.
Talks about people having compassion, that they should have compassion for their situation. What do you guys think? Should we have compassion for them? Elizabeth?
Compassion for Harry and Meghan's situation? Or the royal family? The rest of the royal family? Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, I think he's always going to be more compassionate, empathetic to his own family, obviously. And his point being, and I think he made it in other moments in the interview too, that it is, everything is so controlled, and they've been taught, you know, it's the firm, it's the institution, comes before you as a person in any way, shape, or form. What you feel, and doesn't matter. Now, that being said, the firm and the institution is obviously deeply flawed if they are concerned about things like what color is the baby going to be?
And, right.
And I think there you don't necessarily have to have compassion for them in that sense. But I think compassion in the sense of it is, you know, kind of like being in a cult. They've been in this, you know, thing for generations. This is all they've been taught. They've been known for a long, long time. And he wants you to be a little compassionate and understanding that they, not that they don't know better, but that they just aren't thinking outside of the needs or demands of the firm. Now, that being said, it's 2021, man. Get the fuck out of here.
Pete, and then I'll go to Joe. Go ahead, Pete.
Well, I mean, this is another one of those areas where I kind of feel like, I think I remember what I said last night. We were watching it, and I said, wow, we had just watched Coming to America, the sequel, the night before. And I was like, look, if King Hakim can figure out what to do with Zamunda, then so can Charles. I mean, like, the reality of it is, he's saying, oh, we should have compassion for the royals because they're stuck in this prison of royalty. And again, no one's stuck in anything. That's it's a choice. And here's where I'm really going to draw a line. Whereas this is a group of people that nobody, you can't live in anybody else's shoes. So I understand that not every moment of this is going to be wonderful, but they have the ability to be basically ambassadors to the world, to do whatever they want to do within reason, and to live lives that people could not even imagine living. And if they chose to, they do have the ability to change the way things are. Now, maybe they're thinking, well, you know, Elizabeth's eventually going to die, not our Elizabeth, the queen.
Damn straight.
You know, and I guess then they'll make changes. But that's what Eddie Murphy's character was supposed to do with James Earl Jones' character in Coming to America.
But you see that he didn't.
But again, it's just, to me, it's like, you know what, their problem is really simple. If they keep, you know, people in the UK have already questioned if they should still be funding their lifestyle, and it's been getting more and more of a question over the last couple of generations, and now with the way that the UK is setting itself up, getting out of the European Union and becoming an independent country again, they're looking at this and saying, well, what does the monarchy mean to us other than you know, as a tourist attraction? And I think that this kind of story just kind of once again puts it out there that maybe it doesn't mean very much. And unless they, you know, it, I think the royalty in especially in the UK is a lot like religion in this country. Well, the Catholic religion, but Catholicism, because they, you know, more people are leaving Catholicism than are joining. And where are they joining? They're joining in like third world countries because they have not gone with the times and tried to, like, well, let priests marry, make women priests, do things that are more towards today's modern times. And the same thing's happening with the royalty. They're going to lose their influence over anybody, and they're going to lose their ability to keep creating more wealth if they don't change with the times.
Joe, you wanted to say something?
I don't understand the whole, I never did. My mom was always a big fan of the whole British royalty and stuff like that, and I never understood it. I have always questioned it. I've always thought that they were a bunch of hypocrites. King Edward had to abdicate his throne because he wanted to marry a divorcee.
Also, she was a Nazi, just FYI.
Well, the Nazi.
Neither here nor there.
That was before they had the whole Nazi thing. That happened later. I know about that. and yet, you know, Charles gets a divorce so he can marry a divorcee, and that wasn't a problem. You know, all these guys, like, they're really a bunch of hypocrites, and they do a lot of really stupid bullshit. And for them to try and think that they still have some sort of, you know, really strict PR thing that they have to follow, to me, is crap. Like, they have no, okay, what they do is humanitarian-wise is nice. They have no actual ruling power.
Yep.
So I'm very much, you know, I understand that I don't want to crap on your on your royalty, England, but I just don't get it. I never did. Yeah. And it just seems to me that, like, they're pretty much not acting like they'll bring up the rules when they need to, but they don't actually ever follow them themselves. And I'm pretty sure that all, for all the stuff that we have heard, there's a whole lot of crap that's swept under that rug. Oh, that rug is really got a whole
lot of shit under it. Things are so antiquated that when Kate became pregnant, and I think they didn't know if it was a boy or a girl yet, they finally changed the rule that if it happened to be a girl and no other boys were born, then yes, that girl could rule. That was in the year, like, what, 2015, however old George is? Like, come on!
Yeah.
But I mean, like, well, you know, like what Joe is saying about them doing whatever they want. I mean, I don't know if anybody even realizes this, but for years, and this hasn't been proven to be untrue, there was a thought that Harry wasn't even Charles's son, yeah, because at the time that Diana got pregnant, she was in the middle of an affair with one of the many affairs she had. You know, I mean, Charles only had one affair that he kind of just kept. She was apparently having quite a few affairs. You know, and again, I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying that, like, they change the rules as they see fit, but it's always the private rules. It's never the public rules. The mm-hmm. public rules are always do what we say, but not as we do.
Yeah.
And that's where the hypocrisy comes in. And Joe's 100% right when he says that, because that's what's going to be their undoing, is because you cannot be this hypocritical about so many different things and still do what you're going to do and get away with it. I mean, you know, thankfully Harry was a kid when he got caught wearing the Nazi costume, mm-hmm. When he went to that party. But yeah, again, the thing is, that's the kind of thing that in today's world gets you canceled where you're never coming back from it. But because he was a royal, that's not going to be the case, because again, do as we say, not as we do. You know, and that's the problem that they have. And that'll end up being their undoing and over time, because this is not a sustainable situation any mm-hmm. longer, not the way it is.
Like, low key, no. I mean, I'm with Joe, I'm with Pete on this. Like, honestly, again, like, it is like the whole, you know, royal family and all that shit, like, it is a tourist thing. Like, you're better off just hiring actors and dismantling this whole practice. Just hire, like, it's a tourist thing. Like, people just want to see the palace. Yeah. So just hire actors, like, that dress in, like, old fucking old English garb and shit like that, and walk around the castle and do the fucking ceremonies. Because, like, honestly, they don't do anything. They're not running the country. They're not making yeah. decisions. They're not changing, you know, anything socially or anything like that. So, like, why are we even still doing this? Like, it should be done. And but the thing about it is, like, it would really suck for them now, because then they would have no money. And the only people that would have money is Meghan and her husband. So
that's why everybody's so mad they left.
They have a shit ton of money. You yeah. know, and it's like, and what's amazing is that, like, you know, I don't know if anybody caught that one moment in the interview, and it was another one of those moments where normal people would be like, I feel so terrible for you. When Harry said, thank God that he had the money that his mother left him, or they would have come to L.A. with nothing. Like, and I'm like, oh, come on.
The fallen royals of an old, you know,
I like this
Korean
idea.
Novel.
Let's just get the cast of The Crown. Yeah. Put it in there. I mean, yeah, they're much better. I mean, and then we can just go.
They can play themselves in the next season. Now,
yeah,
they
can, right?
Well, everyone keeps joking who's going to play Tyler Perry in that season of The Crown.
Tracy Morgan would be great.
Oh, man. Yes,
y'all want to come stay in my mansion?
You're going to get him pregnant.
That's what he says as soon as he oh, you got to keep this one, Harry, okay? You got to get her pregnant.
Go use my house in L.A.
Go buy a house and get her pregnant.
Oh, my God. So I have one final question. So do you think that this interview is going to help bridge a gap between the old ways of the monarchy or cause more people to question its relevance? I think we kind of answered
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Cause more people to question about,
like what Joe said.
Oh, you know what? The thing about that really pisses me off is that we shouldn't be questioning. Us as Americans yeah. should be questioning. It should be the fucking England. Like, they should be questioning. This is shit that's going on in their country. And the fact that they're just like, hey, this is what we do. Like,
I shouldn't even give a shit as an Irish person oppressed by their fucking rule for hundreds of years. Actually, some comedian I like, his family's like, grandparents were Irish immigrants. Apparently, her grandma would not allow you to talk about the royals in the house.
That's right. It's a bunch of malarkey, Jack.
A bunch of malarkey,
Jack. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if you think about it this way, the British monarchy essentially are like the world's largest T-shirt shop. Because really, at this point, like everybody else said, they have no power. They don't rule in any sense. I mean, they do nice things by going to like different places and exposing issues that are happening in the world. And because of their causes, they do help people. That's great. But at the end of the day, they really are just a marketing tool for tourism in the UK. And there's going to come a point when people are going to go, I'd rather give the money to Big Ben than to give it to little Charles.
You know, the funniest thing, I took a trip, like a high school trip abroad through like a travel program. And we went to London. The one place we didn't fucking go was Buckingham Palace, and I don't know why. We went to Hampton Court, where like Henry VIII and like Queen Elizabeth I had been, and all sorts of other places and castles. But I could not tell you why we didn't go. It's kind of strange.
So interesting, because that's like the first place they take you to.
We drove past it, and they said, "There's Buckingham Palace. Enjoy,
Big Ben, Parliament."
Yeah, actually, I kind of thought it was more interesting. We did kind of got to meet a member of Parliament. They gave a speech and a discussion. You could do a Q&A. A nerdy little me was like totally down for it, but no, we didn't go. We did go to the Tower of London though, and that's pretty cool.
So Danny asked online, so would the silver lining be that we get another season of The Crown? Yes, Danny, with Morgan Plain.
You guys aren't even seeing the big picture here. I'm picturing Hamilton 2, Electric Boogaloo. Lin-Manuel is already writing a musical about this shit.
No, if we get season 2 of The Crown, they got to shoot it like American Crime Story. Like that's how they got to shoot it, because like that would be the best way to wrap it
never
up.
Never going to be royalty now. Never going to be royalty now. Never going to be royalty now. One less thing to worry about.
Well, I still think that, you know, it makes for great television. It makes for great movie, like a good movie premise, but like Joe said, it is also very hypocritical, and I don't know why we spend so much time talking about, you know, something that's not even happening in our country. But
coming on TBS, it's a Tyler Perry production. It's the Fresh Prince of Tyler Perry's house.
There you go. All righty, good show. So that is our show for tonight. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you back here again tomorrow at 6 p.m. Bye, everyone. Have a good night. Stay safe. Bye.